Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you would bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that they may be pleasing to you. Help us to understand how we might learn your ways, especially during this difficult time, and find ways that we may depend upon your timeline and remain open in the midst of this. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So during a recent press conference, Governor DeWine referenced one of my favorite movies, Back to the Future. And the governor talked about this idea of alternate futures, that our future as a state of the state of Ohio, the people of Ohio, could go one way or another depending upon the actions that we take right now. Just like what happens to Marty in Back to the Future when he has to make sure his parents get together in the first place so he's not erased from existence. The governor made this analogy to our current public health crisis, when if we take the proper steps now, our future reality will be substantially better than if we did not take those actions. The future's coming, like a train blazing down the track. Will we be ready or not? I think part of what makes us human is the ability to sacrifice in the short term present for a better future for everyone. That is the reality we're all living right now. And I don't know about you, but like Mike DeWine, I have been obsessing about timelines. When will we be out of this shutdown? When will a vaccine or a suitable treatment be discovered? When will the kids go back to school? When will we be able to worship together again here in this place? Politicians have started to suggest timelines, throw things out there that they hope for all of us to come out of hiding, and our best scientists are telling us to strap in for the long haul. No one is able to give us really a straight answer, because in the end, they simply don't know. We think if we just knew an end date, if we just knew when things would be back to normal, even if it's a long way off, we could plan, we could strategize, we could prepare. But instead, we're left out in the wilderness of the unknown, unsure of how long we're going to be left to wander before we reach Canaan's side, before we reach the promised future that we're all hoping for. That leaves us restless and lost, and I think probably uncomfortable. We're in a space in between, a gap between one reality and another. Now, this uncomfortable pause is where John chapter 11 takes place. The strangest detail happens after Jesus is told that his close friend Lazarus, brother to Mary and Martha, is ill. Instead of doing what we would all expect Jesus to do, to drop everything and rush to Lazarus' side, Jesus stays two more days in the place where he was. Now, this delay seems heartless and cruel on Jesus' part. Why would he let his close friend, the person whom he loves, die like that? Couldn't Jesus just have snapped his fingers and cured Lazarus in a moment? There's no question that he loved Lazarus. So why would he stay two more days? It's a reminder, I think, from Scripture, that our desperate pleas to God to do things according to our timeline, our schedule, does not always correlate with God's plan of grace and love. Our need for control is overwhelmed by God's desire to bring new life and resurrection. You see, we place God in these boxes that give us the impression that we can know and thereby control how God is going to respond. We see this time and time again with people claiming that they've figured out exactly when Jesus is going to return, or those people who are so sure they know who God condemns to hell. Jesus' delay reminds us that God's love and grace are not something that we can wrangle under our control. In fact, it's that same love and grace that breaks loose from all the parameters and schedules that we try to place upon it. I suspect all of you have seen this happen in your own lives, times in which your hopes, your desired schedules, the life you had hoped for, was dashed in a blink of an eye. Life didn't play out the way you had hoped for. Life didn't only throw you a curveball, it threw you a slider and a changeup as well. And I can't really speak to whether God causes those curveballs to happen or not. Maybe it's just the brokenness of the world, the brokenness of our lives. I don't know. But I do know that as our schedules fall apart, as our agendas are not quite met, our hopes are dashed, God draws closer to us as we wait for that grace and love to manifest. That is what we see here in John 11. Jesus doesn't go straight to Lazarus' tomb, but has these emotional conversations with Mary and Martha, where both express their frustration and their pain that Jesus didn't get there in time. Yes, they believe Jesus and his promises. Yes, they know that everyone will be resurrected at the end. But where was he when they needed him? They were grieving, tears streaming down their face as they talked to Jesus. And we were told after seeing everyone weeping that Jesus was deeply moved. He was deeply moved in spirit and he was troubled. And he wept, crying along those grieving mourners who had gathered to mourn Lazarus' life. What a powerful reminder that when we are lost in the wilderness, when we are grieving some loss of control or understanding about why life turned out the way it did, God doesn't abandon us. God doesn't allow us just to sit and wallow in our pain by ourselves, but is right there beside us in our grief and sharing in our tears. Theologian Karl Barth believed that in this moment was the clearest evidence of God's solidarity with suffering humanity. That Jesus looks death soberly in the face before he banishes it. He takes in the agony. He takes in the grief that it causes and cries himself. And he fully identifies with our pain. So while God might not work according to our own timeline, our schedules, God does not abandon us in our grief when life goes awry. Right now, in the midst of this pain of quarantine and loss of life as we have come to know it, God is here, sharing the suffering that we feel, and then pointing to us the resurrection that God is bringing forth. And believe it, resurrection is at hand. It may not seem like it right now, but God is working. God, who restored sight to the blind, can bring life out of death, can bring love out of isolation, can bring hope in the midst of quarantine, and can bring healing mercies to a hurting world. Right now, We might have to give up our own timelines, our schedules, and find new ways to be open to the present moment. Because that is where God is in the midst of this. God has not abandoned us. God is right here, right now, alongside us, sharing in our pain. And allow your openness to see the movement of the Spirit in your life. Allow that Spirit to set the agenda for the day. And be open to the new ways that God is sharing love and grace to you. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see the resurrection that is taking place before our eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.